I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We thank God for this AB team who are present. We pray that all are well as we go through this situation, this crisis, and we just thank God for another opportunity of worship. God has put a song on my heart, a message on my heart that is a song written by Bette Midler. And at this time, let us hear that song. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to declare your word, and we ask that you would speak to us as you have given me this message in Jesus' name. Give us clarity and give us what we need to deliver it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're reading from Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. It says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 14 says that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We want to talk about God is watching us. It's important that we understand that God is always aware of what is going on in his world. God is always looking at us. God is always paying attention to us. God is always watching us. And we live in a time when we can't go anywhere without being watched. We can't go to Walmart without being watched. We know that they have these moon-like fixtures throughout the top of the ceiling in the stores that keeps an eye on everyone that is in the store. We know that we can't even go to the Hilton Garden Inn without being watched. You can't go on vacation and think you're not being watched, because there are those white mounted monitors with flood lamps opposite of each other that are in the corner that's watching us. We know that the government is watching us through our computers and through cameras that are in the trees. We know that we are being watched. They're watching people, they're watching wildlife. As we go up and down the street, we know that we are being watched. Not only when you talk about God and the Garden Inn and the government, but understand that God also is watching us. The Bible tells us that God is everywhere, and he's watching everyone. The Bible, David says in Psalms 139:7, "Whether shall I flee from thy spirit, or whether shall I go from thy presence? If I make my bed, if I ascend unto the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, from sunrise to sunset in the west, thou art there." Even there, God is watching. So we know that God is watching us. And as we think about that, and as we deal with what we are dealing with as a people, we must understand that God is also watching us. God is watching us. And this is important as we look at this text. What we would find out is that we're looking at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that has short sentences that are drawn out of long experiences. Proverbs 15, the first two verses are talking about how we should talk. And in verse 3 is talking about how we should walk, how we should live before the world. And we find out that he says in verse 1 that he tells us how to talk. He says that a soft answer turns away wrath. The message that is sending to us is that it teaches us that you don't go to an argument with fire, but you go to an argument with water. If you go to an argument with fire, it's like taking gasoline, but if you go to it with water, it's like putting it out. And it tells us that a soft answer can deter an angry person. While they're talking mean and angry, if you talk soft, it will deter that anger. It tells us then how we should talk. And then in verse 2, it tells us what we should say when he talks to us. He says that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. It tells us when to talk. Verse 1 tells us how to talk. Verse 2 tells us when to talk, because oftentimes people think they should talk because no one else is talking, and so they fill in the space by talking. And it's telling us that a wise person knows when to talk, when to, it's not what you say, but it's not only what you say, but it is when you say it. It lets us know when not to talk. Amen. When you have something to say to someone, you have to pick the right time. Timing is important if you're going to deal with a situation of a person in a sensitive matter. You don't just talk about everything all the time, anytime. But you must, it tells you that a wise person knows when to talk. And in verse 1, it tells us how to talk. And then he comes to this verse in verse 3 where it shares with us about various life experiences. It shares with us, it tells us that as we walk through this life, we need to realize that God is paying attention. It tells us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So it's important for us to understand and know for sure that God is watching us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so as we think about God and we think about America, we must understand that we look at God and America and our godlessness. God sees us in our godlessness, and we are in contempt. As we look at this text, America belongs to God. Amen. It's confident. We're confident that the forefathers of this country, the founding fathers of this country, knew that God was the reason. He was the source of their strength. A long time ago, we know that these founders said that they believed in God. But America seems to have become godless. We have to be careful not to become godless. But they believed in God. The founding fathers did. They said that they put it on their money. In God we trust. They put it on every piece of legal tender that you may use as a medium of exchange. You're going to find the name God on the tender. In God we trust is what they put. You can look at a $50 bill, a $100 bill. You can look at a $20 bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill. You can look at a penny. You can look at a dime. You can look at a quarter. And you're going to find where it says, in God we trust. Amen. This nation was founded and believed in God. And God is the one who is the source of America's strength. And we're known as one nation under God. We're known as a Christian nation. And when we think about God, we have to understand that oftentimes God sees us in our godlessness. He sees mankind as they are in contempt. In contempt. To be in contempt means to have a lack of respect. It means to have a lack of reverence. Especially for someone to be in contempt. You can be in contempt of court. The judge rules a case, and you can be in contempt of courts when you're out of order. So as we think about that, we need to recognize that God is also watching us because he is the ruler of the universe. Judges 11:27 tells us in a book called Judges that there's really only one judge. Judges 11:27 says that God is the judge. He's the judge of the judges, capital J. God is the judge. Abraham said in Genesis 18:35, shall not the God of all the earth do that which is right? God is someone who is the creator of the world. We need to be concerned about how we respect God. God is our judge, but we're focusing on the godlessness of mankind as we are in contempt. We are in contempt because I'm not for sure that we accept the fact that he is the creator of the world. The Bible tells us that he is the creator. He is the almighty creator. Psalms 24:1 lets us know that this world, the earth, is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the earth is the Lord's, the world, and they that dwell therein. Psalms 24:1, the earth, the whole earth, and the world, not only the earth, but the world, is the Lord, and everyone in it. Psalm says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. We can't forget the fact that God, this is God's real estate. This world belongs not to us, not even to America, but it belongs to Almighty God. It's His world. We are His people. And we must not or cannot afford to be godless. And God sees us in our godlessness as we are in contempt, as we are in disrespect, because I don't think that God feels comfortable in His own world. In a world where He's been booted out of the school, don't want His name mentioned, in a world where it's not politically correct to talk about God. And God is something that we may say bless you, but we don't say God bless you. God, we don't want Him in Christmas because we'd rather just have the celebration, the mass, without the Christ. And we must understand that God is possible, that God does not even feel comfortable in His own world. He doesn't feel welcome. He's not welcomed in His own world. And it could be that as America goes on, that we have gotten too many gods. But I'm here to tell us that there's only one God, and that's the Almighty God. God is the Almighty. There's only one person who has made these trees and rabbits and quails. God is the only one who spoke this world into existence. We must never forget that this world belongs to Almighty God. And that brings up another question. What if someone comes to these United States and don't believe in God? They have the right to believe in who they want to. Anyone has the right to believe in who they want to believe in. But we're talking about America. America, God shed His grace on thee. America is known as a Christian nation, and while others may believe different, America should never believe any different. America should never change. If we are Christians, while others may not believe in what they believe, God is not prejudiced, but the truth is that we must recognize that we too must worship the God who brought America where they are today. The Bible makes it plain that God is a jealous God. He does not like strange gods, Deuteronomy 32:16. God sees us. We need to understand that God is, in fact, watching us. God is watching us. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13 that there is no creature there's no creature that is not made manifest in His sight. There's no creature that is not manifest in God's sight. God sees everything, and the Bible makes it plain that everything is naked before God. Everything is open to His eyes, with whom we all have to do, or we all have to give an account to. We all naked before God. God knows everything. He sees everything in His omniscience. That is the way that God is. The Bible tells us in Psalms 11:4, it tells us that the Lord is in His holy temple. It tells us that the Lord is in His holy temple. It tells us that the Lord is on His throne, and He looks at us with His eyes. His eyes behold, and His eyelids try the children of men. God is on the throne, and God is beholding, or He's looking. He is looking at us. God is beholding us. God sees us from heaven. God sees us. And it says that, and it says in Psalms 11:4 that His eyelids try us. It tries us. What does that mean, His eyelids tries us? It means that God is watching us so close that He doesn't even bat His eye. He is fixed, and He is focused on everything that is going on in this world. God is concerned about the affairs of man. So as we think about this, we understand that God sees us in our godlessness. But I think God also sees us in our greed. The Bible tells us here that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding or looking at the evil and the good. The evil and the good. Amen. The evil and the good. Now, the truth is that when you think about where this evil started, it started in the garden. But back then, it was the good and the evil, not the evil and the good. The Bible says in Genesis 2:17 that I'm going to put a tree in the midst of the garden. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's good for fruit, but it will be evil to touch it because you would be disobedient. There's nothing mystical about the fruit, but it's just the fact that God needed to test us and to test our love. And so he put the tree in the midst of the garden, and then he says, don't touch it. And if you touched it, then it will be disobedient. It wasn't the fruit that killed Eve and Adam. It was their disobedience. But it was good and evil. And so greed has the ability to turn good and evil around. Good and evil can be turned around. We see that it is turned around. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here it's talking about evil and good. We see in Isaiah 5:20 where it tells us that a day would come when people will call good evil and evil good. They will call good evil and evil good. And whenever you do that, things get turned around. When we talk about evil, we must understand what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It tells us it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a whole lot of evil that can come out of money. And America, as in their quest for money and greed, they are become covetous in that we want money because of what money can buy, what money can do, what money can give us. Money can give us possession. Money can give us power. Money can make us prideful. And the Bible says that the love of money can get things turned around. It is the root of all evil. The love of money can open the door for all kind of things to happen. And I think that America's favorite color is green. I think that it's money that has made us turn our backs on God. Because when you study that, you find out, it says the love of money has pierced many people's souls in 1 Timothy 6:10, and has called them to err away from the faith. Money has gotten us turned around, and we are calling evil good and good evil, according to Isaiah 5:20. And money has been the problem. And how has money done this? Well, the love of it, because of what it can do, it has caused greed, I believe. Are we guilty of greed in America? Because money can get you so many things. We think about God in godlessness. We think about God in greed. We think about God in the government and what money has done to the government, what money can do, what money can change. We find out that God is and is watching our greed. God is watching our government. Why would God watch our government? Simply because of the fact that our government may be more concerned about greed and money than they are about God. Why would they do that? Well, when we think about Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, what we find out is it says that money answers all things. Money answers all things. Parties can make you laugh. Wine can make you perk up and cause you to sparkle. In Ecclesiastes 10:19, but it tells you that money answers all things. Money parties can only do one something. Parties are limited to what they can do. Wine is limited in what it can do. But when it gets to money, money can do anything. Money can buy anything. Money can do so many things. Money can bring you wealth. Money can make you rich and famous. Money can give you your favorite home. Money can, you can buy your way even out of trouble. But I think America is finding out that God is making us understand that money can't do everything. Money can give you wealth, but it can't give you health. All the money in the world won't stop somebody from being cured from this. It's not a matter of having enough money to be cured. We must understand, I think God is sending a message to America, and we've gotten things mixed up, and we don't recognize that God now is trying to get our attention, maybe, and he's trying to tell us that money, you have to watch out for that green-eyed money monster, that mean green, that money, while the rich get richer and the poor get poor, and while businesses price gouge, and while there is high interest, and where there are excessive taxes, and where there is all of these different things that are tacked on. Could it be that God is watching how we as a government is treating the citizens? Amen. And we build and we make people rich, and we make companies rich and industries rich, and they got enough money, and they still will charge you fees and excessive. You got to read the fine prints on the documents, because America has become greedy. I think we have to ask ourselves, are we moved and motivated by greed? Are we driven? Are we greed-driven? And could it be that God is fed up with it? Could it be that God is tired of it? It's not so much that God caused this, but it could be that God allowed this. All I know is that people seem to be at times where you just can't satisfy us. It seems like we can't get enough. We just gonna get more and more and more, and we do it on the backs of the people who are living in the world. Don't we know that God is paying attention? God knows what's going on. God is looking at us. God is watching us from a distance. We can't see him, but he can see us. He's watching us from a distance. We can't see him. He's too far away for the naked eye, but he is watching us, and this lets us know that God is, in fact, watching us. He's watching us from a distance. And we think about this, when we think about money and the love for money, it can cause us to compromise our convictions. We were a nation under God, but all of a sudden now laws can be changed because it's not politically correct, and everybody can do what they want to do, and God is not mentioned. It seemed to me that somewhere along the way during this crisis that we're in, somebody ought to be, something ought to come from the White House that says there's prayer every day. A special prayer in the morning called by the government. Somebody, God is strangely absent until a funeral happens, and then we want to talk about thoughts and prayers. But God's name is not being mentioned too much. God is if this country, if God brought us this far, then it seems like this country would be more concerned about God. Right now it's time to call on God. But could it be that we can't call on God? We can't call on God because maybe we have turned against God. We have compromised. Amen. We have compromised our convictions, and we've allowed things to where this is called a Christian nation, but maybe it's not a Christian nation. It says that God is beholding the evil and the good. Yes, we do good things. We do acts of kindness. We do great things. We help people. We have the Red Cross, and we have all these different things. But could it be that underneath there, while we're doing those things, that we are still offending God? Because right now, the world is not really what we're experiencing. It says that God is beholding the evil in the world. And if you want to get things turned around, you have to turn that word evil around and see that that word evil can spell live. If we turn things back around, you see, Satan has turned things the opposite way. And it could be that we are more concerned about the rich and the famous and the oligarchs and the plutocrats and the aristocrats and all of these other rich and famous people. And we are not really concerned about God at all. We're more or less focused on the, It's not the Almighty God, it's the Almighty Dollar. We place profit over people. And God, have you ever thought, have you ever wondered, amen, that God is watching us? Is that something that we should pay attention to? Because it's almost as if God has told the whole world, amen, amen, that you're drifting too far and you need to, your priorities have gotten mixed up, and God is just hitting America in the pocketbook. Because right now we find out that that's really what's hurting the economy. And while no one wants that to happen, it doesn't have to happen. But maybe God is doing like others. Some people say, I'll just hit them where it hurts, hit them in the pocketbook. And when I take that pocketbook, when I hit them in the pocketbook, everything shuts down. Everything slows down. Everything comes to a screeching halt. It's almost like God told America, go to your room. Amen. The stadiums are empty. The parking lots are empty. Nobody is moving. You can't. You have to stay 6 feet apart. And what is this going on? God is saying that maybe God is, he even told the church to go to her room. Nobody can't go to church. Send all the preachers back home. Send the senators, send them back home. Send everybody to their room. Go to your room. Amen. And sit down and think for a while and get your priorities straight. God has a way of doing things. And while I don't know, no one wish anyone bad. I live in America. I want everything to work like it should. I'm an American. But the truth of the matter is, have we forgotten about God? You know what the Bible says about somebody that forgets about God? Not something you want to do. Psalms 9 and 17. It says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forget God. Every nation. Not some. Any nation that forget God. No one claims this world but God. The earth is the Lord, the world, and they that dwell therein. Oh, this is important because we need to recognize that God loves us. God wants to keep us. God wants to protect us. But now God has sent the world packing to their... And while we cannot afford to let this very important time go by, God recognizes the godliness that may be going on. God sees the greed that is happening to the people. The government now is, maybe we've gotten sidetracked with too many business deals, too much industry, too many, we can't make enough money. It's while those who are hurting, there was a time in Amos 5:24 when the church got corrupt and the priests got corrupt and when the government got corrupt and God says that I don't want your sacrifices, and I want you to get everything straight because there's too much injustice. And he says, until justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream, I want justice. The system is not fair, and an unfair system and unfair business practices and all of the above, and the world just needs to stop and pay attention. And we could say that maybe God is trying to tell us something, because he's the only one. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Do you want divine healing? The Bible says that God is someone who's watching our godlessness. God is someone who's watching our greed. God is watching this government, but he's also a God of grace and mercy. Doesn't matter what happened, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. You've got to come down. You've got to humble yourself and pray. Seek my face and turn from your wickedness, turn from your ungodly practices, and I will forgive you of your sin, and you know what? I will heal the land. You see, healing is not something that God can't do. The nation is suffering. The nation is sick, but it's good to know that God is a God who can heal, and he's the only one who can get us out of what we've gotten into. And if we don't come out better, then all we're going to do is repeat another If this time is this, next time it'll be something else. Just like it's been Ebola and the Spanish flu and the Black Plague and all of the other things that have preceded this, maybe God is trying to tell us something. But it's possible for us to believe and think that God is not paying attention. As I close, understand that God is, in fact, watching us. God is watching us now. God is watching us in Austin. God is watching us in this world. But it's possible for you to think that, believe that God is not watching. And therefore, we do things. I'm thinking about Moses. When Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And Moses, when he did it, he looked to the left and he looked to the right and he killed the Egyptian. But he never did look up. Is it possible that as we think that everything's around us on around us, but we got to, in America, must realize we got to look up and see if God is approval of what we're doing, because he is watching from his throne. And God says, I've been watching. I may not come when you want me to come, but I'm always on time. And I'm thinking about the fact that when children, God told that same man, Moses, he told him, he said that Moses in Exodus 3 and 7, he says that I have seen Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know I was watching. I have seen how he has abused and how he has battered my people and he has did them wrong. And Moses, surely I'm going to send you because surely I've seen the afflictions of my people in Egypt. I've been looking all the time. And I seen you kill the Egyptian, but I'm going to send you back to Egypt. God says, and God delivered them, those slaves who had been there for over 400 years. God is watching. And anytime we do anything, don't ever forget that if something is out of sight, that does not mean that it is out of existence. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. We pray now that these words will be taken. I feel that you've given me for me and everyone. Help us to just let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, speak to our world, for we want divine healing. You said you would heal the land. We pray for all that is going on, and we lift families up that are sick and dying, those as we struggle to battle this invisible enemy. And Lord, we know that you may not have, it's not something necessarily that you have caused, but it's something that you allowed. You didn't want it, but you are able to get us out of it if we get back on track. So help us, oh God, to recognize that you are the healer, and we need you at this time. If there's somebody that don't know you, and they're not a Christian, they need to become one. We ask now that they would understand that you died for their sins and you rose. And it's important that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thomas didn't believe. He didn't know God was watching when he said, except I put my finger in his nail prints and except I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, you showed up and said, Thomas, I was watching you. You didn't see me, but I was listening. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, I believe. And we must realize that that's what we must do. He said, if you confess and believe and receive me, then you can have forgiveness of sin. We thank you right now that you are God of grace and mercy. If we confess, you will forgive. You will heal. You will restore. And so we're asking for another chance. We're asking for mercy. We're asking that you would open the hearts, touch the hearts of those in authority and the leaders of this country, not only in America, but around the world. Help us to come back to the God that is able to protect, heal, and deliver. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. And now may the Lord bless thee. May his blessings come upon thee. May the Lord keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord and glory to his name. Amen.